Good morning. Welcome to Main Street United Methodist Church. How about let's greet everybody and pass on the peace of God for this wonderful, glorious day. Speak to your neighbors next to you and across the aisle. If you don't know them, introduce yourself. Now that we've greeted each one, how about let's continuing our worship by singing our hymn of preparation, which you will find on the inside of the bulletin. There are several things that I want to call to your attention, but probably the first one, the big event that's going to be taking place this next week and this next weekend, is the rummage sale that we're having to raise funds for the parsonage. Even if we do have the down payment down or have a good bit of it down, we still have to furnish this house. So we need all of the support that we can get to participate in the rummage sale, as well as to continue earmarking funds for the parsonage when you pass that plate. I would like to call to your attention, first of all, that we do have, remember, this is a nonprofit, and when you bring your items for the rummage sale, you will be given a tax deduction item. And of course, as you know, with what's going on in Washington, we better take advantage of it because we may not get tax deductions after 2012. So let's go through and get everything we can possibly bring to get up to the rummage sale, and you will get a tax deduction. You will get a sheet just like this that will be signed indicating the value of what you have as a tax deduction. So that's important to remember. We are a nonprofit, and we do need your items for this rummage sale. Also, there's going to be a meeting tomorrow night at 7 o'clock in the fellowship hall to plan the activities for when we'll be working and who's going to take what responsibilities. That will be at 7 o'clock in the fellowship hall on Monday. Also, we need help. We need hands. We need people who can help organize and put things out on tables and who can put prices on items. So as many hands make short, quick labor, remember, so the more you can participate and help, the quicker it'll go and the better the profits are going to be. Tuesday and Wednesday, people will be working in the Asbury Gym area from 9 to 4. On Thursday, from 1 to 9. And Friday from 9 to 5. And then we open the doors at 8 o'clock. We need workers here by 7:30 on Saturday. And I have already been pushing the bake sale. It is important that we have all of those things Friday afternoon so we can have them set up, because that is the first thing that goes. People come and say, I want that cake, I want those cookies, I want this, I want that. They pay us, and then we have to sit on them and hold them till they finish shopping. So we need all of the bake items ahead of time. If you have something big that you want to donate, please call Ann Drake, or you can call me. My name's on the bake sale number, 229-6122. Call me, and I'll find somebody with a truck to come and get it. So just let us know if you have something big that you want to donate. By the way, those items go very quickly, too. We also want to call to your attention the registration for the children's trip to Greenville. That registration deadline is tomorrow on the 25th. So please let them know if you plan to bring your child. The fact that we do need Sunday school teachers. Please look at that. There are two things I'm going to ask you to please put on your prayer list this next week, to pray and think about what you might do in the way of helping our Sunday school program as a teacher, as a parent volunteer, or becoming involved with our children, because after all, that's the future of our church. And when these children are baptized up here, we accept the responsibility of taking them into the church family, and they are our responsibility, all of us. So even if you don't think you can teach, you can come and love these children and provide whatever guidance and direction you can. I want you to think about that this week. Pray about that. I also would like for you to add the Bible studies. The Bible study opportunities are in your bulletin. Look at them. Look at your schedule. And rearrange your schedule to make time for some Bible study, because that is a very important element of your own Christian growth and development. Now, let us center and focus our minds and hearts as we continue our worship service and as the acolytes enter with the light of Christ.
All who are able, please stand and join in the call to worship, which you will find in your bulletin. May those who love your salvation continually say, "Great is the Lord." Let us make a joyful noise to God with songs of praise.
Thank you. Please join with me in praying the prayer of invocation as printed in your bulletin. You have called us to this place, Holy God, to search our hearts and strengthen our spirits. Plant your word among us that it may spring up in nurturing ways for the sake of all your creatures. May we find in these moments of worship the assurance we need to live triumphantly in the face of loss, discouragements, and suffering. Lead us by the teaching and example of Jesus Christ to trust you and your will for us. We believe that whatever happens, you can bring some good from it. Show us, O God, the good you intend. Amen. And joining together in making our affirmation of faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Now to join in the reading and the singing of the Psalter. We'll be using Psalm 105, and this is found on an insert in your bulletin. We'll begin with the sung response, which Joyce will play now. Give thanks to the Lord, call on his name, make known his deeds among the peoples.
Sing to him, sing praise to him, tell all his wonderful works.
Glory in his holy name, let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice.
Seek the Lord in his strength, seek his presence continually.
Remember the wonderful works he has done, his miracles, and the judgments he has uttered. He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth.
He is mindful of his covenant forever, of the word that he commanded for a thousand generations.
The covenant that he made with Abraham, his sworn promise to Isaac, which he confirmed to Jacob as a statute, to Israel as an everlasting covenant, saying,
to you I will give the land.
The epistle reading for today comes to us from the book of Romans, Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 8, verses 26 through 39. Hear now a reading. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought. But that very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. And God, who searches the heart, knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. We know that all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to His purpose. For those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, in order that He might be blessed. And those whom He predestined, He also called. And those whom He called, He also justified. And those whom He justified, He also glorified. What then are we to say about these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not withhold His own Son, but gave Him up for all of us, will He not with Him so also give us everything else? Who will bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? It is Christ Jesus who died, yes, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed intercedes for us. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will hardship, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
You see, the prayer concerns that are printed in the bulletin, and I ask you to add Billy Tunstall to that list. Let us be in an attitude of prayer. Holy God, we are so thankful for those who enhance our worship by the songs that are written in song. Because we affirm that you indeed live, not only that you lived over 2,000 years ago, but you continue to live in our hearts. We thank you for our privilege to be a part of the kingdom of God as it has grown from those tiny seeds years ago to today. For the lives that are touched and challenged and changed because of this message. And we pray for those with special needs this day. Dear God, be close to them. Let them be aware of your holy presence. Let them be touched by those who love and care. And we pray, Almighty God, that you will continue to bless our world, and indeed that men and women everywhere would learn the reality of peace and of love and of harmony. We pray, O God, for healing of attitudes and prejudices. O God, that your world might be what you intended for us to be. And dear God, we pray again for those away from home, whether on mission fields or battlefields, whether being sent by their civil government or sent by their commitment and commission to God. Be with them, dear God. Guide us and lead us. And we pray as you taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let us worship the Lord now with our morning tithes and offerings. Ushers, would you come? Thank you. God, we come to you this day and thanking you for the privilege to give to your kingdom. Praying for those who have given out of their bounty, or those who have given all, or those who have given a percentage, or those who have nothing to give this day. Bless us, O God, together as we plant these seeds for the harvest of the kingdom of God. May this money go forth like seeds to share the good news of Christ to those, wherever they may be, that needs to know that God is love. In Christ's name, amen.
Please be seated. It's time now for the children's message, and as the children come forward, I will remind them to bring their loose change. We are taking up an offering to purchase a sheep through Heifer Project International. To date, they have collected $80, so we're two-thirds of the way to a sheep. So will the children come forward now, please?
Surprised to see these friends here, and Gracie. I hope everybody's having a great summer. I know it's going by really, really fast at the Crooks house. Is it going by really fast for everybody else too?
Sadly,
I know it is sad. Well, today we're going to talk about the parable of the mustard seed. And so I want you to think about, have any of you ever gone outside and planted maybe a garden or flowers with your parents or grandparents? Anybody? Do you like it? Do you enjoy it? Sam and Hannah's grandmother came yesterday and brought lots and lots of plants. And so we spent a lot of time outside in our yard planting lots of flowers that will be pretty for a long time. And I want you to think about how, and those of you that were at Bible school were able to do this, and we planted a little seed in a cup, and probably all of you have done that at one time or another at school. And you put that little seed in there, and is it big or is it pretty? What does it look like, Robert?
Grayish. It's sort of grayish, moldy color.
Grayish, moldy color. And when Robert was in my class one year, we planted a seed and grew a flower. And so what do you have to do when you plant that seed?
You have to water it and put it in sunlight.
That's right. You have to water it and make sure it gets enough sun, but not too much sun or not too much shade or just the right amount of shade, right? So you have to really work at it and take care of it. And what happens if the seed or the plant gets too much sun? What happened, Sam?
It doesn't get enough water and it pretty much dies.
It wilts, doesn't it? And it doesn't really look very pretty anymore after it starts to grow. That's probably happened to some of your plants this year because it's been so hot this summer. Some of them have wilted and they don't look pretty. So when they start to wilt, should we just give up on them?
No.
What should we do? You could get another one.
Or get another one.
You could get another one, but you probably could take care of the one that you have, right? And just make sure that it gets enough water. Maybe it needs a little bit of fertilizer, maybe some food. And our faith is the same way. And Jesus tells us that if we have the faith of a mustard seed, which is really, 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 really tiny, that if we have that much faith and we nurture it and we let it grow, and we take care of it just the way we do a seed in the ground, and we water it, and make sure it gets enough sun and enough shade, and we take good care of it, it'll grow and grow and grow. And our faith is just like that. So what are some of the ways that we can take care of our faith and we can nurture and grow our faith just like we do a seed in the ground? What are some things we can do to make our faith stronger? Can you think of anything? Pray every day. That's right, Caroline. What did all of you and your families do this morning? Where are we now? We're at church, right? We can come to church and eat breakfast. That's important, Hannah. And we come to church and we go to Sunday school and we learn songs and we learn stories from the Bible. We did that this morning in Sunday school and we had fun doing it, didn't we? We played some games and drew some pictures and we did some cool coin rubbings. We learned a lot about Jesus, but we had fun doing it. And so it's important to have those good Christian friends to help us to know more about Jesus and to pray. What else can we do? We can help the needy, be generous. That's what we learned in Sunday school, isn't it? And we can give not just our money, but like y'all are doing for in these boxes, but you can give of your time and your talents. And I know that a lot of you are able to do that. And so I want you to remember that as we finish up summer and as we head back to school, that all we have to have is that little bit of faith, tiny like a mustard seed, and then we can nurture it and help it to grow by coming to church and praying, like Caroline told us, and reading the Bible and spending time with our Christian friends, and that will help our faith to grow and to bloom just like the seeds that we plant, okay? All right, so let's say a quick prayer. I'll start, and then y'all can repeat after me, okay? Dear Jesus, thank you for our wonderful church family and for the stories in the Bible and for allowing us to come to you and pray every day. And please help our faith to get stronger and stronger. We love you. Amen.
Oh,
You now the reading of the gospel lesson is found in the gospel according to Matthew. Begin reading with the 31st verse of the 13th chapter. He put before them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that someone took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all the seeds, but when it has grown, it's the greatest of shrubs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed in with 3 measures of flour until all of it was leavened. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which someone found and hid. Then in his joy he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. On finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and caught fish of every kind. And when it was full, they drew it ashore, sat down, and put the good into the basket, but threw out the bad. So it will be at the end of the age. The angel will come and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the furnace of fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all this? They answered, yes. And he said to them, therefore every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like the master of a household who brings out of his treasure what is new and what is old. And when Jesus had finished these parables, he left that place. Word of God for the people of God. You may be seated. Several years ago, had a friend of mine that rode a motorcycle. And he and I decided that we could save money. And so on good days, I would ride with him to work on his motorcycle. And on bad days, I would pick him up in my automobile, or rainy days. I don't guess, as you look at how dry things are now, a rainy day wouldn't be such a bad thing, would it? So on inclement weather days, I would pick him up in the automobile and ride him to work. He had a helmet. On the back of the helmet was 1%. And I asked him one day, I said, Mark, I said, what's this 1% on the back of your helmet? He said, well, he said, one of our legislative officials said that only 1% of motorcycle riders are not gang members. And I want it to be known that I'm not a gang member. And I would notice as we were riding to work, when he would pass another motorcyclist, he'd hold up one finger, and the guy would hold one finger back up to him. And that was their salute that said that we enjoy motorcycle riding for the fun of it, and we don't belong to a gang. As I was reading this in preparing for this passage of Scripture in this sermon today, when Christ gave this parable, 2% of the population were Christians or believers in Christ at this time. As we read these passages of Scripture this morning, it affirms to us again the smallness of the kingdom of heaven at this time. And as Jesus relates to us in this passage, the simpleness of planting a mustard seed or of putting yeast into the flour. And he uses that phrase, like. Now, my young people, my children have grown up and gone, and I get to be around my young people some, and I get to be around the church young people a little bit. And I don't always understand the vernacular that's taking place in today's society. But I can remember several years ago the word like was well used, like wow man, like that's really cool. Like, she was the worst, or like, he was the best. And so I've come to realize that in some reading from some, the individuals, the ones who do with the language people, they have said that this word like is one that softens a directive. It instead of saying she is the worst, you say like she was not good. And so it softened things up. And so this language, this like word that was picked up primarily among teenage girls, has now spread into the society and continues to grow. And it's a way of softening a statement. And as I look at this passage and read it, Jesus says, the kingdom of heaven is like. And I understand that Jesus was profound in his ability to use vocabulary and to use parables and to use everyday illustrations. For you see, the people of Israel, they had a perception of what Israel used to be like. It was a massive kingdom. It had its rulers. It had David and Solomon. And it told the great stories of the prophets of old. And Jesus is coming to them this morning, and he's using these metaphors, these illustrations, and he's going away from those statements of phenomenal strength, and he's going to those areas where individuals can listen to the kingdom of God in everyday illustrations. The kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. It's the smallest of seeds. And yet when it's planted and it grows and it produces this massive shrub so that the birds of the air can come and land in its branches. When we think about birds coming and landing in the branches of the trees, maybe in your yard, or as I was watching last night and seeing the different birds as they went to roost, and I thought to myself, how do you get birds to come and land in your tree? I don't know of a way to do it except to have some food out there or something. They just come into those environments that are not threatening. Those environments where maybe they have roosted before. Maybe they fly back to a tree where they were born. And I think, how do you get certain birds to come? And I saw the different ones as they were flying to wherever tree they were going to or whatever area they were going to roost. And I thought about the kingdom of God and how that we do the simple things that we do as a church and as people so that individuals will come. Individuals will come and will find those ingredients that they are longing for. Those simple things, like being embraced, being nurtured, not being threatened, feeling that love, feeling that simple message that we share, which is equivalent to that pearl of great price that was given to us by God, who gave his Son to humanity. And so as we share, like those two percenters did years ago, And now we find this shrub growing because, well, it's true. We find this shrub growing because it's found some good soil. We find this shrub growing, and people of every nation and race and color and creed can come and gather into its branches. When I think about the simpleness of this parable, these parables that we have heard this morning, sometimes I think that our perception might be somewhat out of kilter. Today we live in a time of mega churches. Many times individuals will watch TV and they will perceive that the crystal cathedrals of this world or whatever else is on TV should be the norm. And then we see how they wither and go away after so long a period of time. And then we find churches like Main Street that have been here for well over 150 years now, I think it is, telling this story of love, telling this story that has taken root in the hearts and the lives of men and women, of boys and girls, and have taken root and grown into what we have here today. If you could have been here at church this past week as our worship leaders from the Presbyterian Church in here brought together 24 children, and they spent the week in intense work and study, and on Thursday they came together and here these little children, ages from about 8 to 12 or so, had a worship service here and celebrated all the elements of worship and communion and came and received here at this altar. And I thought how rich the church was and how much richer it's going to be because of these children here that have come forward and are learning what this kingdom of God is all about. I think about the kingdom of God. How does it manifest itself in the life of the day-to-day activity of the people here at Main Street? And I think about the circles. The circles where ladies come together and they, some of them, been coming together for 12 and 20 years. They come together on a regular basis. And after all this period of time, they still find something new to talk about. After all this time, they still find some new way to share this gospel of Jesus Christ. They still find some way to project the ministry of the church. It reminds me of being down at the beach sometime and seeing seagulls or penguins as they're flying. Pelicans, not penguins. As they're flying. Sometimes when you say a word up here, it's just gone. And there's nothing you can do about it. You go to get it and it's too late. But as they're flying, of course, you might see penguins too. I don't know. But anyway, seeing them as they fly, and one moves and they all move. And it's amazing. Somehow that's the way it is with the church and the kingdom of God. As we all fit into that balance, of God's presence moving upon us. We could say that the kingdom of God is like a flock of birds as they fly together in harmony. The kingdom of God is like a group of human beings who work together for the good and for the message of Christ. Our perception sometimes might can get out of balance. Thomas Wheeler was a CEO of Massachusetts Mutual Life Insurance. He pulled into one of these self-service stations and was going out, got out of the driver's seat and was going inside and to get him some refreshments and stuff, or his wife as she stayed in the car. He said while he was there, he noticed that his wife was having a very lively conversation with the attendant. And so when he got into the car, he heard the attendant say, "It was nice to see you again." And she said, "And likewise, it was nice to see you." He said, "Well, I perceive that you two know each other." She said, "Oh, yes." She said, "I used to date him. We dated for almost a year or so in high school." And he said, "Well, isn't that wonderful? Just think, if you would have married him, you could have been the wife of a gas station attendant rather than the wife of a CEO of a successful company." And she looked at him and she said, "No, you don't understand. If I'd have married him, he would have been the CEO of the company and you would have been the gas station attendant." Sometimes our perceptions is turned around. As I've already mentioned, sometimes we think about the megachurch. But the reality is that the kingdom of God takes place in the simple things. It's the simple things that are important. You remember the spaceship Challenger? When it was a simple defect in an O-ring seal, it cost the life of 8 crew members. It's the simple things. Sometimes it takes just a little bit of patience to work with people. Sometimes it takes a little bit of love to redeem a situation. Sometimes it takes a little bit of grace to bring about healing. Sometimes it takes a little bit of understanding to save a marriage. A little bit. 2%. Where do you fit into this parable this morning in the kingdom of God? Where are you with your mustard seed faith? Amen. Our closing hymn this morning is number 572. Pass it on. benediction is a responsive benediction printed in your bulletin. Sisters and brothers, whom will you see this week? What will they need? Will you dare to see their need and love them with the love of Christ? In Christ's name, go and be good news.